Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with Angela Copenhaver.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I'm your host, Tony Clark. Today, I'm joined by Angela Copenhaver, founder of We Teach Think and Human from Day One. Once pro-choice, Angela reversed her position, founded a nonprofit in Lincoln, Nebraska, and now uses truth, reason, and science to ask bold questions about the dignity of human life. Angela, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. So happy to be here.
One of the most powerful strategies that you use is called preparing jams. What does that phrase mean?
Well, you know, what you want to do is prepare your strategy, like understanding the market that you're selling to. Mm-hmm. And before you do any kind of strategy research, you need to figure out who am I trying to sell to? So, you know, it's basically business 101. You have three customers, or you have three groups of people: your customer base, which is your current base, your competitor base, which, you know, you're not likely to change their mind. Right. But then you have the potential customer base. And just in any business, no matter whether it's nonprofit or for-profit, the goal is to grow market shares. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't maintain your current customer base mm-hmm. while you spend time, money, and energy mm-hmm. in your potential customer base, your competitor will.
Okay.
And that's what's happened to us. We have spent in the pro-life and, you know, work that we've been doing for the last 50 years, almost all of the resources have gone towards what we call abortion-determined individuals.
Yes.
Now, you know, we need to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. We need to, because we are a very long ways mm-hmm. from having abortion be unthinkable. Mm-hmm. However, we do have to also spend time, money, and energy growing pro-life market share. Mm-hmm. If we want the culture to change and get to the tipping point, which is 51% of the population,
yeah,
we're at 22 now. Mm-hmm. So that's the goal. We got to get to 51% of the population. Once you reach that tipping point, yeah. things happen quickly.
Yeah.
Things happen quickly after that, because now it's starting to be socially unacceptable mm-hmm. and the culture will hold you in check.
Mm-hmm.
So...
that's good. That's something I didn't really have the words to put it in reference, but we're dealing with something very similar to that within Assure, and I would say the pregnancy center movement in general. When pregnancy help organizations, we spend so much time and energy thinking about that abortion-minded young lady, that one who has an abortion scheduled or thinks that this is her only choice.
Right.
Sometimes we might be missing that one who she's not thinking she's going to have an abortion. Or she'll go and get a pregnancy test from someplace other than a pregnancy center, and they encourage her
right
to abort a baby. And
yes.
so I think in within Assure, that's one of the things that we're constantly thinking about. Are we missing? We're so focused on that those young ladies that we know are planning to abort. Are we missing those that we think, oh, she's probably going to choose life?
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't have the words, the terminology to put to it, but I think that's something that it's something we've identified that we need to really think about.
Right. And the possibility of marketing to what we would call influencers.
Yeah.
You know, not only are you marketing to that abortion determined woman.
Yeah.
But marketing to the influencers in her life.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are either going to say, hey, go to Planned Parenthood for
yes.
this or go to Assure.
Good.
You know, and that's what you want to do is market also to those influencers.
Yes.
So that you can get. Say, hey, let's go over here
yeah.
to Assure
right.
and not to a negative place.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's something, like I said, something we're learning, something we're working on for sure. So how does your work challenge people to see consistency across the whole human lifespan, whether it's day one or day 3,000, 31,000.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, when we do our advertising, if you watch the first two commercials that we have, we start with an older individual, which is not really older now because I'm that same age.
Yeah.
But and then we move down to those day 56 and day one characters, just trying to help people understand that life has value no matter what day number you are.
Yeah.
And sometimes we lose sight of what a person's value might be. You know, maybe they're not working anymore. They're an older individual. Well, they still have value and dignity.
Yeah.
And we want to have people understand that those preborn children also have value. So the tagline in commercial number two, which says, "I was not planned, but I am still human and I have value." Mm-hmm. It's repeated many times through all the characters as they go down. Mm-hmm. We get to a character that obviously it's its first birthday, mm-hmm. but it says day number 645. Now, when that commercial starts running in communities, I'll often get emails that says, "Oh, you have a typo in your commercial. You know, it's the baby's first birthday. It should be 365. Yeah. But we don't count from that day.
Yeah.
We count from day one. So it's 365 plus 280.
Yeah.
And then when the day 56 character, which is a preborn, has the voiceover that also says, mm-hmm. "I was not planned, mm-hmm. but I am still human mm-hmm. and I have value." Mm-hmm. It's trying to instill that preborn value into people. And I often say, if every child that was not planned by their biological parents mm-hmm. was aborted, we would not have very many people. You know, I would say that many people are probably not planned by their biological parents. They're planned by God.
Yes.
But knowing that being unplanned does not mean unwanted.
Yes.
And that's what the abortion industry has kind of confused. So they say, this is an unplanned pregnancy. You didn't want this. So you don't want it.
Yeah.
But many things that are not planned are still wanted. Yeah. So there's a difference between being wanted and unwanted.
Yeah. I think that's huge. Just reframing or rephrasing, you know, some of the terminology that we use. And you're right. Most pregnancies are probably not planned. And so quite a few of them are unplanned.
Right.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Do you believe we can ever create a new normal in which respect for human dignity is intuitive again?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And I'm going to spend the rest of my days doing it. I may never retire.
Yeah.
I hope that I do see the fruits of it by the end. But some examples that I use is, like, if you look back at the Keep America Beautiful campaign, mm-hmm. I was a teenager when that started. The commercials ran, there was a Native American indigenous person with a tear while the trash got thrown at his feet. And, you know, And I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. Now, when I would see somebody as a teenager litter, I would wait till they were not there and then go pick it up and put it in the trash bin. Mm-hmm. But then by the time my kids were in high school, mm-hmm. you know, 90s,
yeah.
It was becoming more of a generation that would confront people that were actually doing it. So if they saw somebody litter, they'd go over and say, "Hey, dude, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, pick that up." Well, I wondered what my grandchildren would think mm-hmm. about this whole thing. So I had them at dinner one night. There was maybe six of them, ranging from age 14 mm-hmm. to 3. And I said to them, you know, when Grammy was a little girl, that when people were done with their trash, like their McDonald's bag, they would just put down the car window and just fling it out on the curb. And they all just gasped, you know, and here's their response. All at once, in unison, "Grammy, you didn't recycle?" Okay, no, that word was not invented yet. But, you know, so now it's not even acceptable to put it in a trash bin. You must sort it.
Like, right.
So do you see how it changes over generations?
Yeah.
So, yes, that I think it will happen.
Yeah.
But we need that consistent nationwide message running for a good amount of time.
Yeah.
In all 50 states.
Yeah.
in order for that to happen.
I totally agree. And I also think it starts at home. What we talk to our kids about, they're going to talk to their kids about as well. And so we can't change. We certainly can change generations.
Right.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll get to see some of that in our lives as well. So how do you see We Teach Think working across generations, young people, parents, and even grandparents?
Yeah. Well, a lot of our advertising is designed to stimulate conversation also. There is one of our billboards has a diamond and a day 56 preborn baby on it. And it says both of these weigh the same, which one has a greater value. And so, you know, I talk to folks about that. If you're in the car riding with some kids and the kids say to you as an adult, "What, Grammy, what does that mean?" You know, well, it means that if you, our culture maybe changes or, you know, chooses monetary things over a preborn life. Or we have another one that has a snow leopard and a day 56 baby that says, which of these species is not protected? If they ask the question, Grammy, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, it means that if you harm the snow leopard, kill it, you know, you get pay a fine, go to jail because it's endangered.
Yeah.
And children automatically, intuitively know that, well, what about the baby?
Yes.
And that's a hard one to answer. Because you say, well, it depends. It's difficult. You know what? Just ask your parents because you don't want to talk about it, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, the goal is to get adults in that have a little bit of cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Where I don't know how to answer this. It's a little bit painful to answer.
Yeah.
And that causes strategic thought and strategic change within your brain.
That's good. We call those life lessons at our house. I can think of many conversations with my girls in the car. They ask that awkward question. And it's like, oh, gosh, how do I answer that right now? And there's always an age-appropriate answer.
Right.
And so we didn't necessarily veer from those questions, but you're right. It's I think as parents and grandparents, we just need to be bold and to answer those tough questions that they have, because we are forming or help them form their thought patterns about life and, you know, and things of that nature. So I can think of many questions that we've, on the way up to church, almost at church, my daughter asked me a question. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is deep. You know, let's talk about it after church.
Let's pray to Jesus first. And then I had my grandson ask me, maybe when he was in about the second or third grade, he came home and asked me, Grandma, what does abortion mean? Mm-hmm. And I was already doing this work, you know, and I said, well, you know, trying to answer age appropriate. And it means that if a mommy has a baby in her tummy, she might have that baby removed from her tummy before it's ready to be born.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, but Grammy, wouldn't the baby die if you did that?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, honey, it would. And I just embraced him. And he said, why would someone do that?
Right, right.
And I said, sometimes adults don't make good decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, just having that moment where they understand exactly what something is and being able to have those tough conversations.
Absolutely. Age appropriate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. Do you want to make a difference but don't have time to volunteer every week? Become a church ambassador. You'll help champion the work at Assure within your church community, raising awareness and support in meaningful, tangible ways. It's a simple first step to get involved in the pro-life work at Assure. Visit firststeptolife.com to learn more and join us today.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tony Clark, and I'm talking with Angela Copenhaver, founder of We Teach Think and Human from Day One. So what role does training play in helping communities run their own campaigns?
Right. Well, what we do is our goal is to have the advertising running in all 50 states. We are a 501c3 company. So if you go to our website and you happen to click on the donate button, there's a section that says fund. if you click on that, a drop-down list will come up of all the different cities that we're currently raising money mm-hmm. to run our advertising in that city. So if somebody donates to the Lincoln, Nebraska Fund, the Douglas, Sarpy County Fund, we spend 100% of those dollars actually putting up the advertising in that city. Of course, the donation button does default to the general fund, and that's how we pay for the business of being in business. But I travel around the United States giving presentations on, you know, trying to change the culture, yeah. growing pro-life market share. And once I've been in a particular community, usually I get what I call community champions. Mm-hmm. And they want to run the advertising. We add that city to the list, and we dig in. Mm-hmm. We start going for it.
And so, what's been the response to in Nebraska about the, you know, having a campaign?
Right. In Nebraska, I've been running the advertising in Lincoln and West for about 4.5 years okay. now. I'm happy to say that in the Omaha area, Bellevue, Papillion area, we will be putting up 10 new billboards starting the first week in October. Mm-hmm. So people in this area will start seeing our work shortly. The presentation that I've been doing in different areas in Nebraska right now is kind of talking a little bit about what happened last year with 439 and 434 and the other initiative that was, you know, didn't make it very far, but, you know, it's ultimately our goal is to have abortion be out, you know, not in Nebraska at all. But when I really dug into the numbers afterwards, looking at the political arena, the money that was spent by the pro-abortion industry in Nebraska mm-hmm. was over $14 million mm. they spent in 1 year here. Well, when you, anybody can do it too. You can look it up and yeah. see all of the people that donated to that. Well, when I looked up the numbers, $7.5 million was spent in Nebraska by people who don't live here.
Wow.
And the pro-life people then had to spend $12 million combating the pro-abortion attempt to get abortion in our Constitution here. Yeah. So $26 million was spent in our state on advertising between the two. And win or lose, I say this all the time, it doesn't matter if you consider that pro-life won or if you consider pro-choice won, it's going to come again. They're wow. going to do it again.
Yeah.
And we have got to grow that middle life-minded yeah. if we want to truly keep people who don't live in Nebraska out of our decision-making yes. process.
Amen. Amen. Wow. This is very informative. Very good. Very good. So, Angela, tell us a little bit about Human from Day One. Why was this the first project of We Teach Think?
You know, when I started We Teach Think, the 501c3 is under We Teach Think. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, this might not be the only social issue that I want to tackle. Okay. And I definitely do not want to do the 501c3
okay.
dissertation again.
It's an awesome.
Yeah. So humanfromdayone.com is our first product. Okay. Obviously, that's what spurred me to it. You know, the reading of the 40 Days for Life and really having that my pro-life conversion also. So I put all of our effort then into it. You know, when people say, well, why do you have two names? You know, well, I just say humanfromdayone.com powered by We Teach Think.
Gotcha.
So We Teach Think is the business end of it. And humanfromdayone.com is our first product.
Okay. So we've talked a little bit about Human from Day One and all that that communicates, just the value of life. I was sitting here thinking, trying to do in my head how old I am.
I know.
It's a big number. So
yeah, it's a big number.
But let's talk about the science. When does life begin according to embryology?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, as soon as the egg and sperm are joined together, there is that spark of life. And that's when human life begins. Everything's there at that point. After that initial spark of life, all that embryo does is grow. Yeah. And when I was doing the research for the science page mm-hmm. of Human from Day One, I try to use different analogies for, you know, day zero to day three, day five to, you know, different things in there. I try to use born behaviors during those developmental processes, because as people are reading through those different stages of development for humans, I want children to visualize that preborn child doing born things. Okay. So, you know, when they talk about like the Verilux that's over the baby, it's the, you know, kind of cheesy kind of keeps you from being waterlogged, basically. I call it like a preborn sunscreen, you know, that is never too early for skincare, you know, that kind of thing. So we try to use some fun little analogies in there. What the embryo is moving down the fallopian tube. I talk about it maybe, you know, like taking a high-speed train to a hotel, ordering room service, and for the next 260 days, all of your meals are delivered, you know, like you're going on a vacation. Because we want people to understand things in born terms so they start valuing the preborn person as a born person. But also, it's hard for children to visualize something they're not seeing on a regular basis. Being able to use those different terminologies and kind of make it fun and memorable, you know, so it needs to be short, repeatable and memorable, you know, so that you can talk about it. One of the other things that when I was going through lots of textbooks. My daughter's a physician. She delivers babies. And, you know, while we were going through it, I said, you know, the terminology you guys use is just so bad. Nobody, you know, nobody, you call it a zygote. What is that? You know, nobody's going to remember. And no wonder people don't perceive it as being a human being, because what does that mean? No one knows what that means. You do if you're a physician because you went to medical school. But the general population doesn't use terms like that. The abortion industry is really good at calling a baby something other than a baby because we don't know how to visualize that. And so that's how you can separate it in your brain as, well, maybe it's not human yet because it's a zygote. I don't know what that means.
That's good. So what role does DNA and unique genetic identity play in confirming the start of life?
Well, you know, since we've come up with DNA, so many things in our culture have changed. I mean, you can't watch a television program without having DNA, you know, mentioned at this point in time. But when we're on the science page where I talk about DNA, we have it as like a beautiful ballet of the two DNA strands twisting together. So our goal is to have a children's book published in the next year and a half or so. But the illustrations that we have for that are the two DNA strands, but they have ballet slippers on the bottom of the strands. So they, and then they have a mom and a dad head at the top of the DNA. So children can understand that it takes a mom and a dad in order to have this beautiful DNA dance, so to speak. So
that's good. That's good. All right, Angela, what encouragement would you give to someone listening who wants to use science and reason in their own pro-life conversations?
Well, number one, download the We Teach Think app. If you just, you know, go onto your app store, download the app. It's free. All of our videos are on there. You can share them. You know, because after I've given a presentation, people are like, oh, I can't remember everything you say, you know. And so I was like, well, you don't have to. Just download the app, you know, share a video. One of the videos that I think is powerful in changing the narrative of I don't believe, but is an animation that we have of two characters talking to each other. And the character number one says things like, well, I don't leave my campfire unattended, but who am I to tell other people that they shouldn't? And character two is like, what? You know, and then it goes on. I don't drive drunk, but who am I to tell others they're wrong if they do? They're like, what? You know, and so then the last one is the person saying, I don't believe in abortion personally, but who am I to force my opinion on someone else? And character two says, what? Again? and then says some things people say just don't make sense. Mm-hmm. So what we want people to start thinking about, and this kind of came about because if I was at a party or something and somebody says, well, I don't believe in abortion personally, but, and I would say, oh, I know, I don't drive drunk, but who am I to tell others the wrong they do?
Yeah.
And just stop talking.
Yeah.
You know, they'll look at you like you've lost your mind, you know,
yeah.
And then they'll go on telling you all the reasons why driving drunk is dangerous to the individual and society.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're done talking, all you have to do is say, that's how I feel when I hear you say, I don't believe in abortion personally, but same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to help people to understand that not only is abortion dangerous to the preborn child, the mother.
Yeah.
But socially, it's dangerous for us to continue taking the lives of innocent children.
Absolutely.
It's socially dangerous.
Yeah. I love that example you use as a way to get a point across without arguing.
Yeah.
Just simply stated. I love that. Man. Well, Angela, thank you so much for joining us today. Friends, you can learn more about We Teach Think by visiting teachthink.com and their first initiative, Human From Day One, at humanfromdayone.com. I encourage you to explore the questions and images they've created and let them challenge you in your thinking. That's all for today's episode of Life Matters. Be sure to join us next time as we continue equipping you to think deeply, engage confidently, and stand for life.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Do you want to make a difference but don't have time to volunteer every week? Become a church ambassador. You'll help champion the work at Assure within your church community, raising awareness and support in meaningful, tangible ways. It's a simple first step to get involved in the pro-life work at Assure. Visit firststeptolife.com to learn more and join us today. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.